Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
A lot of us have really kind of contemplating how this is going to change the NFL. And I think it was Kevin the other day that had said we might see a different type player on kickoff because of the new rules and where the teams are lining up and they can't move and they got to wait for the ball to get kicked off before they can actually do something. I really think that if you have a good receiver, a good kick returner, I should say, and they're a little bit slippery, we are going to see more touchdown returns on kickoffs this year than we've seen. The possibility for that, I think, has been heightened. I might be wrong. We'll wait for the analytics to come out. We'll see how it looks. But, you know, when you've got a wedge coming at you, which I know you can't do, but when you've got a number of guys coming at you and it's kind of endless at that point, I think it's tougher to get through that. I'd love to talk to Eric Metcalf or Josh Cribbs about this. And then, but if they're stagnant and they're lined up and they're only like 20 yards ahead of you and you could see the holes, almost like an onside kick, that I think they're only going to have to beat one, maybe two guys. And then all of a sudden it becomes a, you know, a 60, 70 yard dash to the other end zone. I'm looking forward to this because I think it might put more points on the board. I could be dead wrong, especially if they use bigger guys on the line, which make the holes tighter. And if those guys can get to the side of the ball faster, it might be, you know, a rugby scrum real quick. So I want to see how it plays out. I think Kevin's right. I think a fan should be intrigued by this. I don't know if you're going to like it or not. You may love it. You may hate it. But I definitely think it's intriguing. And I think that we could see 70-yard dashes for touchdowns that could be really fun, or 80-yard dashes.
I'm fascinated as to what this is going to look like. I was somebody who was very anti-kickoff, especially of late, and especially due to the fact that if you think back,
how many anti-dentite and anti-kickoff. I can't.
Well, you know, there are dozens of us out there, and so I'm interested to see what this looks like. I have previously said that I have never sat and really watched a kickoff when I've recorded a game and gone back and watched it. I just blow right past them because we know how it ends, which is either a kneel or the ball goes out of the end zone and the other team has the ball at the 20 or the 25. I mean, there are so few times that a kickoff had come out of the end zone, it's ridiculous. And so they had to do something. And I think their two options were either let's try something like this or let's just get rid of the darn thing. And clearly they didn't want to get rid of the darn thing. Probably the direction I would have went, but I'm not in charge of anything. So they're going to try this kickoff thing. We're all going to have to see how it looks. We're all going to have to figure it out from there. I want it to make it slightly better that the kickoff is watchable again. I don't want it to turn into every single kickoff ends up 30 yard or 40 yards down the field and every single drive is starting at the 45. Like, I don't want it to turn into that because then that starts to feel really gimmicky.
But do you think they would fix it then for the next year?
I hope they have those fixes figured out because right now I don't know how you'd fix it.
Well, eliminate the kick. That's the only other way.
Right? That's kind of the thing. Yeah. So I'm fascinated to see where this goes. We will see where it goes from there. But they are going to have to change. They're going to have to evolve just the same way that the Browns are doing on offense. And just they are with the idea of bringing in Mike Vrabel. They wanted something that Coach Vrabel had. They wanted something that Mike Vrabel was able to bring to the Titans. He was able to bring with the New England Patriots and all that stuff along the way. And he was an available coach. Didn't get a head coaching gig, so the Browns brought him in. And Stefanski's, I think, encouraged.
I love Coach Vrabel. He's been awesome. I've enjoyed just the time we've been together already has been really, really, really fun. He's a Buckeye. He's Northeast Ohio. He's got great love for this area and this team. I loved when we first got in the building and put a brown sweatshirt on him, just seeing him walk around in a brown sweatshirt. I was like, all right, that looks good. So I'm glad we got him in the fold.
What a great recruiting tool. Hey, here's your gift back.
Mike, put that sweatshirt on. Oh, you look great in brown and orange, kid. You look great.
Oh, by the way, we put a little Walsh Jesuit patch on the side of that brown thing just for you.
Exactly. Oh, you're a Buckeye on top of it. Well, let's put that on there too. Went on to talk a little bit more about Vrabel coming in.
Once he wasn't going to be a head coach this year, which I was shocked. I mean, I expected him to be a head coach. Once he wasn't in this cycle, I was like, dude, if you're not doing anything, we'll take you. I'll take whatever you're willing to give us. And I think with his relationship with me, his relationship with Andrew, and I don't want to speak for Vrabes, he can speak for himself. I just felt like he wanted to help, and I think he wanted to go somewhere where he had a familiarity with the group.
It's an easy move for him too, right, to be here. And if he is truly, if, you know, Kevin sounds, excuse me, comfortable in his own skin. And that's the most important part about this. This isn't a Vrabes is looking over my shoulder, he's going to be our next head coach in the next 5 minutes kind of thing. This is a guy that is, and by the way, Andrew Berry lives this every day with Paul DePodesta, doesn't he? Andrew Berry has Paul DePodesta at his disposal, although I think Paul's got influence, there's no question. And I think that they're more going to lean on Vrabes than they are in that situation between Berry and DePodesta. So, but both those guys have guys that are now kind of available to them to help them out, to look at the way things work, to try to figure things out. And I'm sure there are times when Kevin probably walks off the field and says, what could I do better? What could mm-hmm. What should I have done? If I made the wrong call, I think as a head coach, if you made the wrong call, you can live with that because you know how to correct it. Moving forward, don't make that call. Or you now have the background to understand that when you get in that situation again, you made that call. Am I really willing to do this again? And then you'll think about it. But now you can do that before you make a mistake. And I don't know. I do think there is something to be said. As long as you can – here's the hard part about this situation. You've got to be able to let ego – aside, you can't have ego when you have a situation like this. You've got to have an open mind and not go, well, what does that guy know? He doesn't have a job, right? And I'm not saying exactly that Kevin would ever do that. Excuse me, but we all know that feeling.
100%.
Everybody knows that feeling. You're like, oh. The worst word I think I ever heard in television, for the most part, was consultant.
And I was just going to bring that up.
But it wasn't consultant. Or for me, like, I never felt challenged by a consultant. I always felt like I could learn from a consultant who, if they had been doing that. The problem that I always ran into were news directors that were listening to consultants that were coming in from other cities that didn't understand the market, that didn't understand what Clevelanders were all about. And they consider and go, well, you know, in Los Angeles, like, I can't tell you how many times I heard the stupidity out of consultants when I was working in television, especially here in Cleveland, that the stupidity would be like, this is working in Los Angeles. Has anyone ever watched an LA newscast? It's entertainment. Why? Because their industry is entertainment. And you think that's going to work in Cleveland? First of all, that just doesn't fly for the intelligence of people who are here in Northeast Ohio. So now the Browns find themselves in a similar situation, but I think that's not the scenario. Like, I always know that when I worked with, talent, I use that word really loosely for me, but when I work with talent coaches, I always felt like I could get something out of it if I wanted to listen.
Right.
That was the key. And you had to respect the person you were talking to, and they really helped me. Like, I'll never, ever forget we had a group out of Texas that would help me, and then all of a sudden you would see that your presentations were better, and, like, that was good. But when you try to get into the inner workings and the philosophy of what people actually think, especially Northeast Ohioans, I can't tell you how much credit they did not give you as viewers, and that's why it's an industry that's, like, just barely hanging on, because they all got on the, okay, we're all going to look like McDonald's. It's ridiculous. That's not what Clevelanders want, and the successful stations don't do that, but sorry about that going on a little tea. But that's the whole consultant kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? The Browns can't put themselves in that same position.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's okay to bring in outside ideas.
Yeah.
Ryan Gregson was a part of this organization for a good chunk of time. He was the GM of the Indianapolis Colts for a little bit, had a role in the Philadelphia Eagles, how Andrew Berry got to know him. He is now the director of player personnel for the Minnesota Vikings. And so having these outside ideas that come in and having these people who can look at you and go, well, why aren't you looking at this guy this way? Because this is the way I've always done it, and it seemed to work out well. It's just to get a new run of ideas in the building. And Mike Vrabel does a great job with that one. In the same way that hopefully Ryan Grigson had something to do with the success that the Browns have had when it comes to the draft as well. Our Twitter match is powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads like Bob did here. I have not been the biggest Stefanski fan, but after he was on this morning, I'm starting to really like him, and I'm happy that he is our head coach. That's what this stuff can do. And there's a couple other things that came out of this interview that'll make you a fan of Kevin Stefanski, and we'll get to those a little bit later on down the road.
All right, let's talk about that later in the show. We're going to get to Eric Edholm, NFL.com. We are less than a week away from the NFL draft. What do you need to know? How can you be a little bit smarter even at 11 o'clock, even before 2 o'clock? We're going to make you smarter next with Eric Edholm, NFL.com, 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.